Hello, dentites. We are here with a special episode of Tooth Talk, here to go over your issues for Lobby Day.
So make sure you listen to the actual show at www.toothtalkshow.com or wherever you get your podcasts, which is Apple Music or Google Play, Spotify, you know, all these fun places. Hey all, thanks for downloading this 2019 Lobby Day issue review. Over the course of this review, we'll be laying the groundwork for understanding each of our issues that you'll be lobbying in DC this year for Lobby Day. We'll also be covering some of the typical questions that we receive about Lobby Day and some of the more frequently asked questions we get about each of these issues that we will be covering. As always, please feel free to reach out here to the Washington office if you have any questions about the issues or in Lobby Day in general, or you want your horoscope. With me, as always, is Sarah Milligan. Sarah, are you excited about this year's Lobby Day?
Yes, I love Lobby Day. Yes. I look forward to it all year. It's like Christmas.
Just without the gifts?
Only several days. Well, you can get gifts. We have Tooth Party swag available for
pins.
Sale. Little pins.
Members of Congress love those pins.
Bags, Lobby Day bags. People get gifts when they come to Lobby Day. And it is a gift to be with you. And it is a gift to get to put on this conference. And as I always like to remind people, we have two very important audiences at this conference. Number one, we want to make sure that this conference is valuable for our dentists and our students that attend. And then we also want to make sure that we are explaining our issues to members of Congress and their staff. So with us today to help us make sure that we're covering all of our bases, which, Peter, that was kind of a baseball reference.
Oh, yes.
Did you get it?
Oh, no.
Our open.
This is going to be a home run, isn't
it? Fun fact, our opening night reception is baseball themed.
Yay.
Take me out to the ball game. Anyway, so with us to cover all of our bases and our issues are two of our congressional lobbyists, Megan Mortimer and Natalie Hales, and from our regulatory and policy team, Bob Burns. Thank you all for being part of this review and for being with us today. Megan, we'll start with you. Can you tell our listeners about the Competitive Health Insurance Reform Act that deals with McCarran-Ferguson reform?
Thank you, Sarah. Happy to. We are very excited this year because McCarran-Ferguson reform bills have been introduced in both chambers. In the Senate, S-350 is sponsored by Senator Steve Daines, a Republican from Montana, and Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont. In the House, H.R. 1418 is sponsored by Representatives Peter DeFazio, a Democrat from Oregon, and Paul Gosar, a Republican from Arizona. The bills would amend the McCarran-Ferguson Act to empower the Federal Trade Commission and the Justice Department to enforce federal antitrust laws against health insurance companies. The bills are narrowly drawn to apply only to the business of health insurance, including dental insurance. It would not affect the business of life, property, or casualty insurance, or any other similar insurance. By repealing the health insurance exemption, we believe the bills will help make insurance more affordable for all Americans through improved competition in the marketplace. Lack of competition can allow health insurers to overcharge or otherwise take advantage of consumers, leaving the consumer's only course of action to file a complaint with their state's insurance regulator. We believe passage of S-350 and H.R. 1418 will help interject more competition into the health insurance marketplace, thereby permitting federal antitrust enforcement in instances where state regulators fail to act. Health insurers frequently argue that, without the protection of the McCarran-Ferguson Act exemption, they will be unable to engage with other insurers in activities such as developing standardized policy forms or collecting and disseminating data. This is simply not true. Modern antitrust law is flexible enough to allow for these certain activities to occur. Amending the McCarran-Ferguson Act would enable both the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission to focus their attention on specific anti-competitive health insurance practices, thereby ensuring that healthcare professionals and health plans are abiding by the same set of competitive rules. If insurance companies had to observe the antitrust laws when setting rates and designing coverage, they would have to compete more aggressively with each other for both individual customers and purchasers of large group policies. In other words, competition for health insurance business would compel health insurance companies to deal more fairly, transparently, and creatively with both consumers and with healthcare professionals. In summary, we are asking you to urge your members of Congress to co-sponsor and support the bills, S-350 in the Senate, and H.R. 1418 in the House. This is the first time that McCarran-Ferguson reform legislation has been both bipartisan and bicameral, and we will be keeping you up to date on the status of the bills leading up to your arrival in D.C.
Thanks, Megan. You know, we've been lobbying this bill for quite a few years now. What difference does it make in this year's in our advocacy efforts now that we have a bipartisan and bicameral introduction of McCarran-Ferguson reform legislation?
Well, Peter, it actually makes a big difference. First and foremost, our message will be the same for both the Senate and House members. Simply, please co-sponsor this legislation. But what is truly exciting is that this is the first time since the ADA has been advocating on this issue that we not only have bills in the House and the Senate, but that we have bills that are supported and led by both Republicans and Democrats. Coupled by the fact that the president also supports this legislation, we have finally everything aligned politically to give us the best chance we have had yet to enact this important reform into law. Let's be fair. Any legislation that is healthcare related in this day and age and is bipartisan is rare and a welcome exception.
What do you think is the most important part to get across to congressional staffers?
Well, right now, one of the key talking points that we're hearing on the Hill is transparency. Either party, any chamber is talking about it. All staffers will be interested to hear that the main effect that this reform will be to subject health insurers to the same level of transparency that all other major industries are subject to under our federal antitrust laws. And as always, we want our dentists to tell their narrative to the staffers about how they feel a lack of transparency and an uneven playing field between health insurers and providers are negatively affecting their practices and their patients.
Oh, awesome, Megan. Thank you a lot. Hey, Bob, I hear the Higher Education Act is way overdue for an overhaul. Can you tell us about that and some of the principles that we are be focusing on for Lobby Day this year?
Sure, Peter. The Higher Education Act, or HEA, is almost 10 years overdue for a major overhaul. It's supposed to be reauthorized every 4 to 5 years, but Congress has really failed to get it done. It's an issue for us because over two-thirds of today's dental students use federal direct loans to pay for dental school, and the same is true for federal grad plus loans. This is happening at a time when 85% of new dentists are starting their careers owing more than $287,000 just in student loans. To put it in perspective, if someone graduated in 1975, a dentist, they would have left school with nearly $63,000 of student debt. In 1985, $126,000, and in 1995, it would have been $179,000 of student debt. That's the new normal for the profession, and that's why the issue is so important to us. And this year, Congress is once again looking to reauthorize the HEA, and we want them to get it done this time, and we want them to do it in a way that will help alleviate the alarming levels of student debt. If you would, please take a look at the student loan issue sheet. It contains 10 principles to help offset some of this early career debt. We'll be asking Congress to reauthorize the HEA, and when they do, make sure these 10 principles are included. They include things like lowering the cap on student loan interest rates, allowing the loans to be refinanced whenever the rates are lower, and extending the deferment period when a dentist is completing an internship or residency. They won't keep students out of debt, but they'll at least help offset the more than $287,000 I mentioned that most new dentists owe at graduation. Something to keep in mind in your meetings is that you don't need to be an expert on all 10 of these principles. Focus on maybe two or three and let the dental students and new dentists who are on the call, you can share your personal experiences. You can put a face on early career debt that we can't. For example, how has it affected your early career decisions or practice choices? How would reducing it even marginally help you get established? And where? Will your debt load affect whether you end up practicing in a wealthy urban area, a poor rural area, a place where dentists are most needed? Those stories are what staffers will remember, and that's really what you want to get across in your meetings. In fact, that's where you can really make a dent in the perception that dentists don't have the same financial pressures as, say, someone who graduated with a degree in ballet or philosophy, someone whose income prospects make them more likely to default on their loans. From a political standpoint, we know that the leaders on the House and Senate Education Committees plan on introducing vastly different versions of the HEA, and they'll likely do so soon. Communicating our higher education principles now, that'll give us the best opportunity to shape what's in those bills. So again, our two asks of Congress are, one, reauthorize the HEA, and two, when they do, make sure these 10 principles are included. And again, please keep in mind, successful lobbying on the student debt issue relies on you, the dental students, and new dentists telling your personal stories about how your heavy debt load has influenced your life decisions.
Thank you, Bob. That was a lot of information. And you mentioned a lot of points and principles that we support. But are there specific bills that the ADA and ASDA support?
Yes, Sarah. Both the ADA and ASDA have historically supported more than a few. This year, we're asking our dentists and dental students to specifically highlight two of these bills. Don't worry, you'll be getting a handout on both of them as they're not currently on the higher education leave behind.
Yes, y'all do not worry. We will get you all of the handouts that you need to take to the Hill. Thank you, Bob. Natalie, our last issue we'll be lobbying this year is the Ensuring Lasting Smiles Act, or ELSA, which I'm sure everyone will remember. This bill deals with congenital anomalies.
Yes, and we are not going to let this one go.
Wait, was that a Frozen reference?
It was a Frozen reference. Yes, I didn't know if anyone would pick up on it, so I appreciate that.
Not only do I have a small child, but I'm also obsessed with all Disney movies, and I would argue that Frozen is a movie for all ages. Natalie, do you want to build a snowman? I agree that it is a movie for all ages.
Okay,
right?
I think we can do this all day, but we should probably get back to it.
Reindeers are better than people. Okay.
So sorry. I'll get us back on topic, describing a really important bipartisan bill that we have never lobbied before during a lobby day. The Ensuring Lasting Smiles Act, or ELSA, seeks to address treatment needs for children suffering from congenital anomalies and birth defects. S-560 in the Senate is sponsored by Senators Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat from Wisconsin, and Joni Ernst, a Republican from Iowa. And in the House, H.R. 1379 is sponsored by Representatives Colin Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, and Denver Riggleman, a Republican from Virginia. One out of every 33 children in the U.S. is born with a congenital anomaly. These anomalies include severe oral and facial defects, such as cleft lip or palate, skeletal and maxillofacial deformities, hyperdontia, and enamel hypoplasia. Y'all, please keep in mind that most members of Congress and their staff do not have a medical or scientific background, so use layman terms when describing these conditions, such as absence of teeth. Congenital anomalies can interfere with the ability to breathe, speak, and/or eat in a normal manner. For many children, specialized surgery is needed, and the procedures are reconstructive, since they are performed to correct abnormal structures. However, despite the reconstructive nature and necessity of such procedures, many insurance companies consider these services to be merely cosmetic. While they may provide coverage for the preliminary surgeries, insurers will delay or deny follow-up or corrective procedures, including necessary dental treatment, which can have a negative impact on a child's developmental milestones. When coverage is denied and they are faced with the extreme financial burden of these procedures, families may have to turn to public insurance programs like Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, or even charitable sources for these procedures. And while some states have laws in place requiring insurance coverage for congenital anomalies, the coverage may be limited to specific conditions and does not apply to patients with federally regulated ERISA plans. ELSA would make sure that all children have coverage for treatment of these anomalies by requiring all private group and individual health plans to cover medically necessary services resulting from a congenital anomaly or birth defect. This would include inpatient and outpatient care and reconstructive services and procedures, as well as additional dental, orthodontic, or prosthodontic support. Many members of Congress do not understand the life-changing work that dentists can do. For someone who has no experience with a congenital anomaly or who only goes to the dentist for their biannual cleaning, they may find it hard to fathom how life-altering correcting these anomalies can be. If someone in your group has experience treating congenital anomalies or has a personal story, please be sure that you share it during your meeting. We are asking you to urge your members of Congress to support ELSA, S-560 in the Senate and H.R. 1379 in the House, to ensure children are able to receive the treatment they need. A list of current co-sponsors will be given to you in your lobby day packet.
Natalie, thinking about this seems like this bill would have a lot of support. Are there any organizations that advocate on behalf of ELSA?
That's a great question, Peter. We have joined with a number of groups to support this legislation, including, but not limited to, the American Association of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, the American Association of Orthodontists, and the Academy of General Dentistry.
Thank you, Natalie. As we know, Congress will not be in session during our lobby day. And so most of our dentists and students will be meeting with congressional staff. One of our questions we've been asked a lot this year is how to handle our lobbying pitch when meeting with a congressional staff member instead of the member of Congress. Megan?
Well, I think that people should be handling it as they should be as prepared and they should be as ready to talk to the policy expert as possible. Oftentimes, these staffers are more so the policy expert than even the member. You'll probably have more constructive meetings with a staff member than you would even with a member. We like you to save all your effort and energy for meeting with members when you're perhaps going to events in district with them or perhaps hosting fundraisers or attending fundraisers. So your lobbying pitch should be no different when meeting with a staff member. They are just as important, if not more important, to get our goals across and to get these pieces of legislation moving forward.
I can tell you, as a former staffer, there's nothing more sad than meeting with people who don't seem excited to meet with you. So please treat the staffer with as much interest and enthusiasm as you would your member of Congress.
I know we really don't want to take time to make Natalie sad. That would be terrible.
Thank you.
No.
Thanks for looking out.
Just anytime you go to these meetings and you talk with a staffer, just picture Natalie. And would you just be
big
heartbroken
smiles.
If you made Natalie sad. So there's a lot of other big things that are happening this year for Lobby Day. And Sarah, I know one of the hugest things is that we've moved.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little more about that?
We're moving. We are moving to the Washington Hilton, which is located in sort of the DuPont Circle area of Washington, D.C. It's a very beautiful neighborhood, lots of embassies, trees, older buildings. And in the late 1970s, early 1980s, President Reagan's had an assassination attempt at the Washington Hilton. And so in D.C., colloquially, we refer to it as the Hinckley Hilton. It is a massive property. It has a beautiful ballroom, and we look forward to welcoming our dentists and students there.
Yes, we're very happy about the move, and we're excited to have a bigger space. We're going to have a lot of big things happening, and also all of our members and the dental students will be able to stay at the same hotel for the first time. Mm-hmm. So it'll really up the amount of time that they have to network and just be in front of each other. And also, as a treat for everyone, we had some really great speakers this year. So I'm going to let Sarah talk a little bit about our two keynotes.
Yes, our keynotes. So the last few years, we've had sort of a Republican and a Democrat come and give a point and counterpoint. And this year, we are excited to welcome former Senator Kelly Ayotte from New Hampshire to come and join us. And joining her will be Patty Solis Doyle. Ms. Doyle began her career with Richard Daley and then worked on the Clinton and Obama campaigns. So Senator Ayotte will be our kind of conservative viewpoint, and Ms. Solis Doyle will be our more liberal viewpoint. They're going to sort of interview each other, and they're excited to work with each other.
Should give us a really great perspective on the way that politics are happening. And
yes.
And I hear Bob also helped us out with getting someone. Bob, who are we going to hear from?
It will be Rear Admiral Timothy Ricks. He's the chief dental officer of the U.S. Public Health Service, probably almost for the last year. He'll be joining us from the administration.
Well, that's great. It's going to be one of the first times we've heard from both a political and a policy side, right?
Yes.
We will also be hearing from two of our dentist members in Congress, Representative Drew Ferguson, a Republican from Georgia and the minority deputy whip, and Representative Jeff Van Drew, a Democrat from New Jersey, and our newest dentist member of Congress.
Yes, it's also exciting.
Well, speaking of the Hill, so I just mentioned our hotel is in DuPont Circle. We'll have to go to Capitol Hill for our meetings. So on the day of our meetings, Peter, how do you recommend folks get where they need to go?
So there's a couple of options that you can take. One, we're going to be running some buses like last year, starting around 9:30. We'll do three buses on a loop, so between every 15 minutes. From 9:30 on. And then also, if you have an earlier meeting, there are Lyft and Uber and cabs right outside. It is probably about an additional, 10 minutes to get to the Hill as compared to the JW. So make sure you just keep that in mind when you're in the middle of getting yourself to the Hill.
Yes. Also, do not forget, Sunday night, our reception theme is Take Me Out to the Ball Game. So yes. Peter, grab your baseball jersey. Which one shall you wear?
There's no the Mets. I mean,
I've never even touched a baseball jersey my whole entire life, but I cannot wait for this. Well, we want to thank you all so much for taking the time to be with us. And we want to thank Bob and Natalie and Megan for chatting with us today. We look forward to having a very successful lobby day. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the Washington office. We can't wait to host the Tooth Party soon.